Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Given the challenges facing the nation and the budget constraints at all levels of government, public funds must increasingly be invested in what works. While much of the current public debate has focused on whether our nation should spend more or fewer resources, it is also critical to get better results from existing resources. Data and evidence of impacts are rarely used as criteria in decisions about how to allocate public funds. By investing in what works, limited dollars can be directed towards programs that demonstrate proven success and generate greater impact. The nation's social programs are unlikely to be improved until we learn to enact programs supported by rigorous evidence, to improve existing programs based on evidence, and to shut down failing ones, again, based on evidence from high-quality program evaluation. What is the Federal Invest in What Works Index? What can be done to better integrate evidence and rigorous evaluation in budget management and policy decisions? How can federal agencies increase and enhance their evaluation capacity? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guests, John Bridgeland and Bruce Reed, senior fellows at Results for America. John, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Nice to be here, Michael.
Bruce, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
So, John, to provide necessary context, would you tell us about the mission of Results for America, and how does RFA work to achieve its mission?
So can government play Moneyball? That's the big question that Results for America, which is this now very broad-based coalition of government officials across administration, leaders across sectors who believe strongly in improving the life outcomes of young people and their families, particularly vulnerable populations. And so the question Results for America has posed is, can we work to improve government performance? And the collection and reporting of data, the commitment to evidence, the commitment to evaluation, so that we know that limited taxpayer dollars are actually being spent wisely to help those in need.
So with terminology, I mean, when you're thinking about this money ball or evidence, as you pointed, a lot of folks talk about effectiveness. I'd like to get a sense. Could either of you explain to me or give us a good definition of what is meant by evidence and what is meant by program effectiveness?
Sure. Well, evidence is just proof. Washington, as many have said, tends to be an evidence-free zone. and what is important to have with any program is the ability to have scientifically rigorous evaluation of whether something works. It's important to agree at the outset what a program is supposed to accomplish, measure what it has done, and agree on the standards of whether it's actually working.
John?
I would just add that, you know, in the context, the budget wonks tell us that less than one out of every $100 in domestic discretionary spending is backed by even the most basic evidence. So Bruce is right. we don't want an evidence-free zone. And so Results for America and the coalition's committed to improving that. There was also a GAO study showing that 37% of program managers, only 37%, that said that their programs had been evaluated in the last 5 years. And many, a majority, didn't even know whether their programs had been evaluated. So the state of play was pretty grim before RFA got into this mix.
And you mentioned earlier, you just mentioned the term evaluation or evaluated. So what is program evaluation? And perhaps you could outline some of the key elements of program evaluation and to what extent it is essential in running an effective government program. Bruce?
First, you need to have data. You need to collect that data, evaluate it to see whether it's living up to the program's mission. It's important to have a common evidence framework because you want to make sure that you're comparing apples to apples and need to know what are you shooting for? How good does the evidence have to be and how good does the result have to be?
I would just add that, you know, the government is awash in data. Uh-huh. But how that data is being used, as Bruce mentioned, with a common evidence framework, but then translating into is this program, is this intervention actually effective in boosting outcomes? And prompting departments and agencies to do a better job in marshaling the evidence, committing resources to evaluation, and then integrating. This is going to be the tricky part, yeah. Integrating what they've learned into changing programs. And even in some cases when the evidence is pretty strong that programs don't work, the tough play is actually shifting those resources to other programs that do and stopping what they were investing in.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. And all of these elements kind of build the foundation to why we're really here. And that is what I'd like to get a sense for our audience. What is the Federal Invest in What Works Index that RFA puts out and will be putting out today? What prompted its creation and how has it evolved to date?
So departments and agencies across government spend, you know, literally billions and billions of dollars and resources. And if RFA's mission is to help low-income youth and their families, it wanted to prompt and foster and accelerate a culture of commitment to data and evidence in ensuring that government moves strongly in a direction toward investing in what works. And so instead of being a punitive exercise where the index was designed to shame departments and agencies, it was just the opposite. It was a cooperative exercise where more than 75 former government officials and those in government cooperated to design an index that would actually achieve the goal that RFA was trying to achieve, which is to get government to move strongly in a direction of investing in what works for these populations. And in turn, it designed about 10 indicators of what constitutes a commitment to investing in what works in this index. And initially, it was a couple of agencies, the Department of Education and Labor. It's ramped up to 7 departments and agencies who are committed to continuously improving and making their commitment to this work.
And it's worth a real shout out to the agencies that have stepped forward and taken part in this, because, you know, holding yourself to evidence is a scary thing to do in any walk of life. It's particularly difficult in public life where everyone's watching, where not everyone is rooting for you to succeed. But it can make a huge difference. They say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Well, in government, the real definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and not even measuring the result.
We have an example of that. So when I was in the Bush administration, we discovered the Even Start Family Literacy Program. The theory was basically boost the literacy skills of parents, mm-hmm. and that'll in turn translate to the kids, which sounds like a good theory of change. But randomized control trials 3 times proved that those who were subject to the intervention did know better than the control group. Okay. And so we recommended that those resources be shifted to reading recovery programs that had evidence. Well, it took 8 years, $1 billion later, Congress finally shut down the program and redirected funding to more effective programs. But think about almost over a decade, young people, you know, who are not getting access to high-quality literacy programs, and the opportunity cost of $1 billion going into programs that weren't effective. So that hit home to me, the power of that Bruce's a point about insanity, the insanity of investing in things that were clearly proven to be ineffective.
Well, given your role and your roles and your experience with this effort, how important is it to have agency or department leadership oversee these efforts and encourage the use of evidence and data to build and sustain that culture of learning or culture that you were talking about? Because it's a real – it's transforming culture, making it a – if you're going to make Washington an evidence-focused zone as opposed to an evidence-free zone, it's a change in culture. How central is it for leadership to get involved?
It's crucial. You get out of government what you put into it. It is a very by-the-book kind of place. So it's important to have senior leadership on the case. It's important to have an office, a function dedicated to this because people working in government take their jobs very seriously and perform to the standard that is held out to them.
Yeah, I would add one of the exciting developments that I saw in to that question was something called HUDstat.
Oh, yeah.
Where the Department of Housing and Urban Development, because it has strong leadership, you know, that's committed not only to collecting and reporting good data, not only committed to evaluation, but then in the context of regular performance reviews, they're committed to ending homelessness among veterans. Mm-hmm. And so they have a performance review around what does the data tell us, what are the evaluations tell us. And then you can go on their website and you can see the cities where they've ended chronic homelessness among veterans. And for those skeptics, mm-hmm. about, you know, government bureaucracies or civil servants or, you know, can government ever do good? There's a lot of building evidence that government's doing extraordinary things in areas like reducing homelessness among veterans. And it's in part because departments like HUD are committed to taking data and evaluation seriously and then translating it into improving their programs.
And that's
their
an
outcomes.
Excellent example. They do have a lot to show on that one.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think it plays an important role as well in focusing the legislative branch. We talk a lot about the executive branch and how often agencies are tasked with carrying out a program that wasn't that well thought through in the beginning. And then the same people who designed that program hold a hearing holding them accountable for the failure of a program that they didn't design. So putting some onus on Congress to think about evaluation, think about results when they design these programs. Make sure that a program has a clear mission, that there are clear outcomes, and that the agencies have the resources to measure and evaluate whether they work.
And not to skip ahead, but that's a great point, Bruce. Do you see a shift at the legislative branch? And what's happening to kind of inculcate or instantiate the evidence angle? Is there something going on?
I think there are a lot of encouraging things going on. I think, for one thing, this is an area where both parties can find some common ground. So much of the political debate is a theological one where people make up their minds before they look at any results. And any time you have a common denominator that people, a common language that people can use so that they can be honest with themselves about whether their idea actually works. It's a lot easier to back away from your own bad idea if you have proof. And it's a lot easier to advocate for it if you have proof. So we've seen this in a few areas. The new education law that Congress just passed includes significant funding for evaluation. It encourages the Education Department to double down on what it's already been doing in asking districts to use evidence-based interventions and turning around low-performing schools. So it's part of a government catching up with a shift that is happening in the outside world as well. Big data is changing the world. Big data is making all kinds of things possible and is forcing everybody to up their game. So that's happening even here in Washington.
Yeah, I would just add, Bruce is right. The legislative process cannot be just a faith-based exercise. And I had this little experience where with Results for America, I testified before the House Ways and Means Committee. And we've all done that. And you show up and usually very few members show up. And the room was full, all the seats, okay. Democrat and Republican, and the focus was evidence-based policymaking. And when we talked about the SNAP program, the new food stamps, I cited a statistic that in addition to giving access to low-income children and their families to nutritious food, it had increased high school graduation rates for those who had access to it compared to those who had not by 18 percentage points. And I had a number of Republicans who came up to me afterwards who were skeptical of SNAP because just a food distribution. But they saw these other outcomes, you know, that had to do with a pathway to prosperity and getting a job. And And it changed their view of SNAP. And I think the more that we can, you know, there's a commitment now, appropriators are making 0.5% or even 1% to fund evaluations in departments and agencies. That's a real core focus of the RFA agenda. And so I think if we can get Congress committed to the evidence, and it's something that should appeal to Republicans because they want to invest in things, you know, limited government in things that work and eliminate funding for those things that don't. And for Democrats, it proves the proposition that government can be effective and can work and in areas where it's active.
Yeah. And were you referring to the Ryan Murray kind of or is that
– Yes. And okay. So one of the ideas that's emerged and that RFA endorsed and we announced at this hearing was the Ryan Murray Evidence-Based National Commission. Okay. And having the Speaker of the House, who's, you know, probably the policy leader now for the Republican Party, committed to the evidence agenda is, you know, could affect a sea change in how Congress views this work.
What can be done to better integrate evidence and rigorous evaluation into decision-making? We will ask John Bridgeland and Bruce Reed from Results for America when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.